Sahana bhunaktu saha viryankarava vahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sugar was the last one?
He did.
Worship. On the page 30, the first one we did, or?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah,
we did. Any questions to any of the previous ones? Okay, so who can touch the deities? In the Vishnu Dharmotara, there is a statement about touching the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said, only a person who is initiated as a Vaishnava and is executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness has the right to touch the body of the deity. No, so then the standard is that the Pancharatri deities, then those which are installed by the Pancharatri process, the Pancharatri mantra, then only the devotees who are initiated in the, no, the Pancharatri Gayatris, then they can touch the deities. So therefore, no, we know them as pujaris, and they can touch them only once they, no, perform archman and the whole purva karma, so like a purification of the place, of themselves, of the paraphernalia, and then so that's the process of puja. So it's therefore also like during abhisheks, then it is important that for the installed deities, then only the second initiate devotees take part in the abhishek. And in fact, the best is just the pujaris, especially when like a big festivals, because then it's there may be so many devotees who want to bathe the Lord, but we have to understand the abhishek is not about really the devotees. The abhishek is about the Lord. So the Lord, arranges such a way so then he is being baited in front of the devotees. But still, he wants to be baited properly. So the pujaris, they know the best how to do it. But sometimes the devotees, they may be very sentimental and they may just pour very slowly or, no, just on only on face or, no, on other deity. It's not always done such a way so then it's not very clear that the Lord is in the center. So touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and dealing with the Lord should be done only by the pujaris. That's the ideal. So if there is any question of should light members bait the deities, so then strictly no. Those which are installed, no. Yes?
How about Snanyatra and Guru Puni?
Well, Snanyatra, Jagannath, this is very, no, this is exception. He is the Patita Pavana and he does not mind even if those who are not initiated are baiting him. He is the only one deity which no, we can do that. That's not the temple, that's not the installed Gauranga. So somebody from congregation brings deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they bait that one. Because it's always the middle altar where there are the two Chaitanya Mahaprabhus from the altar and they are being baited by the pujaris. So that should be also understood that here sentiment is not really on place. It should not be there. Many times we think that somebody gave big donation, so he must bait the deities. But the high class people who generally do give donations, so then they are not expecting that they will be baiting the deities. What they are expecting is that they will be properly taken care of and they can watch the Abhishek. That's all what they actually expect. It's the devotees who think that they must bait the deities. So many times there is a confusion because they cannot, but no. And the devotees are trying to push that they should, but they won't. So it's if it's explained, so it's not only that they don't feel bad, but they actually appreciate because the standard is higher. If it's them that they can bait, so then in their eyes it's like anybody who pays some money can bait the deity. And that should not be the consideration. So we should be very careful in case we do make some decision or anything or are part of it, then we should very carefully consider who should be baiting the deities and then how it should be done. Yes?
So, is there a difference in the standard if you have weak uninstalled deities?
Well, see this, if the deity is not installed or it's installed as a house deity. You see, the difference will be that in the house you have not different standards. Temple, it's everything very regular. You have many offerings, many arotis, and then the standard of the puja will be also very high. So, therefore, only qualified pujaris do deal with the deities. Now, in a house, you may have installed deity, but you establish the standard differently. Maybe once a day offering, maybe just once a day aroti. So, as for the standard, so then you deal with it, with the murti as the house deity. So then for those, you may have that basically anybody, maybe just initiate a devotee, may bait them. And such murti can be taken and then you can just have the abhishek for the deity. But you may not have such a high standard as just the only pujaris can bait them. Do you understand?
Yeah, but at this between, like, is there such a thing as worship of the deity or the soul?
Well, it's, I mean, the deity should be installed. There should be, you know, some installation done, because if it's not installed, then it's not, the process is not complete. Prabhupada said, no, at least they should be installed. But Prabhupada mentioned that by kirtan, it's all about invoking the potency of the Lord to enter the vigraha. So once Lord is there, then no, it's the archa vigraha or the worshipable deity. Now, as we do it, then there is a ritual which is called prana pratishta. So with that we formally actually invoke the Lord and then ask him to reside in the form. So once the prana pratishta is done, so then formally the deity is installed, and it must be dealt with differently. Well, you see, if you really want to have a deities, then why would you keep them uninstalled? And if you have no standards for installing deities, then why would you anyway want deities? Just keep pictures. Now, once you are comfortable, okay, you are initiated, you have time, you have the facility to do the puja for the deities, to dress them, to do the aroti. Then you can get the deities and start the aroti, start the puja.
So best is to only have deities if you're sick and...
Well, you see, it's for the house, so it really depends on what standard do you establish. You may dress the deities once a week if that's all you can do, but you should do at least once a day offering and once a day aroti. We cannot do that much. Why would you want deities? It's your reciprocation with the Lord. So if you are not willing to sacrifice something of yours, then why would you even go for it? Then have a picture. Picture. Now, if you, whenever you cook, you can offer. If you don't cook for a week, then okay, just nothing happens. But if when you get the form of the Lord as a vigraha, you are committing yourself. You are committing yourself that you are going to do service for the Lord in that form. If you want to do it only for some time, better don't get the Lord. And more stick than that will be shalagrams. Now, some devotees just keep shalagrams and then sometimes they do manasa puja, what they call. Why would you get the shalagrams? Because when you get the Lord, then also when you travel, you have to also consider that. Or you can keep him at home and then he will mentally worship him. It's not the best. So it's a commitment. You are putting part of your life for the sake of the Lord. Now when that I think it was Maharaj Jai Singh, he committed himself that he is going to worship the Lord at certain time of day, every day. And even though his enemies knew that and they attacked at the time when he was worshipping, he wouldn't give up the worship. He would just say, I cannot, I have to, no, this is my time for the Lord. So then, no, the fight must wait. And it wasn't that he was irresponsible king and he didn't care for the citizens. No. But because of his commitment, because of his love, then Krishna appeared, no, basically as him, he led the army and he defeated the enemies. That's what his reciprocation was. So before we make step like that, we have to know what it is. We may say, oh, I was young and foolish, I didn't know. Well, so now you matured, but the commitment stays. You are not going to get freed from it. It is, yes. But the requirements or the expectations from the Lord in the form of a picture is very minimum. So it's in the form of a picture, you may have very great reciprocation, very great relationship with the Lord. But no, you may put the picture in the box, for some time, or just take it once in a while outside and look, or just have it on the altar. It's the Lord is not going to really take it as an offense. But if you do that with the Archa Vigraha, then there is high possibility that the Lord will take the offense. From the picture, no. Whenever you cook, you can offer prasadam, and it's going to be offered to the Lord. Because if you are offering it to the Lord, it will be offered to the Lord. But if you don't cook that day, then just don't offer. And the Lord will not take the offense. But if you have the Archa Vigraha, and you are committed that you will every day offer some boga to the Lord, and one day, because you are sick or you don't want to cook for some reason, so that you don't cook also for the Lord, then he may take the offense. In other words, when you get the Archa Vigraha, you have to make a commitment, you have to make some minimum standard that you commit to that you are going to perform. And it should be until the rest of your life. It's very serious. It's not like getting some toys on Loi Bazaar and just putting them on the altar and thinking that that's what it is. It's like initiation. Now, like you get a child. Now you cannot, after a few weeks, the child gets boring or it's too much of work, so then just switch him off or put him in the box. You cannot do that. So the same with the Lord. It may not be very well understood if because many devotees do. They go to Govardhan, they take Giriraj with them. And then they keep him in a box somewhere, not even really thinking of worshipping. Or they worship for some time, then keep him in a box, and they say, every day I worship him mentally. That's not good. So we have to be very, very serious and careful about how we commit ourselves. So therefore, before getting Govardhan Shila or Shalagram Shila, then, or even worshipping deities, then we should at least consult with our guru. And ask him for opinion. If he gives blessing, that will be the best. Yeah?
My doubt is just that the picture is also another form of
it. It is, yes. It's a form. You can have a picture. You can throw the picture. When you get the time, you can worship. You can put some tulsi, chandan, some flowers. You can offer prasad. You can do even like simple dressing if you really want to. You can offer full puja. 16 upacharas, you can also do that. But if you don't, there is no offense taken. So you can leave picture at home, you can go for traveling for a month, come back, and then just resume the puja. You can do that. You cannot do it with archa vigraha. You cannot do it with chalagrams.
Why?
Well, Lord appears in the form of a picture, so then that can be done. It's very simple to worship him, so even those who are not initiated can worship him. But if he appears, in the form of archa vigraha, there are stricter rules. Once he's installed, and especially in the temple, so then the reciprocation is more formal in one way, but also it can be more deep. It's it's three dimensional, so you can relate to the Lord much more. It's more visual, or how would say that? So for those who do not have the time, the energy, the facility, so then the form of the Lord as a picture, it's an ideal arrangement. So they can always travel with the Lord. They can put him in the bag which they are traveling with. When they come out, they can take him out. No need much more special paraphernalia. Just have one Archman cup, and then whenever you cook something, you can offer. That can be done. But once you are getting the archa vigraha, then you should commit yourself that you will have some daily sadhana. That's the difference. So even if you are traveling, then you should travel with the Lord. You should have facility for that. When you come, then you should still be offering something to the Lord for eating every day, aroti every day, puja every day. It's a commitment. Though the picture, you are not really committing yourself. So he is very, very merciful in the form of a picture. He will not be so merciful in the form of archa vigraha regarding to your not performing your duties. Yes?
Will he be more merciful if I do perform my duties?
It will. He will reciprocate. As you perform your duties, he will reciprocate. So then you will get very quickly the understanding this is Krishna. So then as you get the understanding, so then your duty may turn into that you want to do it.
Should.
Yes. If you perform properly the activities, so then from attraction you get the Lord, because you are attracted to the Murti. But then as you perform your duty, then you may start performing your service spontaneously. So then it will become out of affection. So you will want to do it. So you will want to be naturally always with the Lord. Yeah? Yes.
So some devotees in their houses or in ashram, they keep many pictures of Krishna and mm-hmm. like that. They have tons of them. And maybe they're not all, worshipped or even pay much attention to. So is keeping that lot of pictures unfavorable for devotional service?
If that helps them, and then to see, it's okay. But they should have one picture, like the main one. They should have one. If they would do puja, or if they do some offering or whatever they do, they should do to one specific one. Maybe it can be a picture of the local deity or whatever they are attracted to. And that should be maybe some more fancy frame, put specifically on some place, altar with the space in front so you can put the offering plate. Like that. It should be specific. And then if you decorate your room with other pictures around, as long as they are bona fide, then it's not a problem. And then once a year, you get inspired and you worship them all, so then it's but one should be there. Same like if you have many deities, so then still of the temple there is one specific deity which is always worshipped with the full facility, the full puja, and the other deities, they are getting worshipped through the deity. So why should we see the deities? In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the seeing of the deity of Shri Krishna in the temple. A devotee says there, "My dear Vasundhara, any person who goes to Vrindavan and sees the deity of Govinda Deva is free from the courthouse of Yamaraj and is allowed to enter into the highest planetary system in which reside the demigods." The devotees who see the Lord, and they can travel freely in the all spheres of all the planetary systems. So they get to even see the other abodes. Yeah. But the devotees, they may get many siddhis. They may have so many abilities. But it's just a side point. They don't really are very eager to show off, use it, do anything with it. It was a story with Rasikananda. Once, in the morning, was sitting and brushing his teeth, and it was his friend came in. "Oh, let's go there in just nearby city. There is a magician. and he knows how to fly. He said, nah. Come, let's go. It will be, no, far out. I'm not going. Rasikana was saying. Said, no, let's go. No, it will be really, really good. Ah, there is no need for that. Just forget it. No, let's go. No, he's really far out. So then he was bothering. So then, as they used the twig, you know? So he was brushing his teeth with the twig. So then he took that twig and he sat on that twig and then started to fly around. So he was flying a little bit and the friend, he was looking what's going on. Then he again flew, sat down. He was sitting on a wall, just sat down there and just continued brushing. So it is said about the cities that they actually stand in the devotee's door and they are begging for some service they can perform. But devotees, unless it is used for Krishna, so it's not, they don't consider it as very useful. So there are many cities. Prabhupada did mention about the 8 kind of cities. But it may be nice, but what will you do with it? If it helps you in your service, then it's good. But if it takes you away from the service because you forget that who you are, what is it for, you may become a very excellent magician, right? You may be able to disappear or be very powerful, you can lift anything. But what for? What will you use it for? If you misuse it, if you don't use it properly, then it will be pointless. It will not be good. So that's also why the devotees, they many times don't know that they may have any siddhis like that. Because there is no need for it. Because if the siddhis will take the devotee away from his devotional service, then Krishna will arrange it such a way so that that the devotee doesn't even come to know. And the devotee who may know that he has the siddhis, then he's not going around and not showing off. See, like Hanuman, he had great siddhi, but he was kept away from to know it. But then once he come to know, even though he was Hanuman, still he made a mistake. But after that, he didn't misuse it again. So it's just the question, how much are we able to handle? Krishna can give anything. He can give any facility, he can give anything what is available in the material world or even spiritual. But are we able to handle it? Or because of our conditioning, then we start to behave as somebody completely else. Just because we get some little facility, now we say that, oh, we don't need anymore the Lord or anybody else, because now we feel that we have something extra, so we are independent of anybody, we are the doer, and we can be self-sufficient. That's a problem. So then, when the Lord offers So he offers to those devotees whom he considers that they can handle it. Srila Prabhupada, he had many facilities. He had basically anything, whatever he needed. Krishna arranged. But Prabhupada never considered it as his own effort, his own property. He always gave the credit to the Lord. So we should also see it from that point of view. Then we can understand.
That's actually quite impressive.
Well, yes, but that only can be possible when we have very selfless motives. Yeah, it's impressive, yes. Why do we attend arotis? In the Skanda Purana, there is a following description of the result of seeing aroti, worship, of the deity. If someone sees the face of the Lord while aroti is going on, he can be relieved from all sinful activities, reactions coming from many, many thousands and millions of years past. He is even excused from the killing of a brahmana or a similar prohibited activities. Well, you may end up as the other devotee thinking that you do offense, just chant some Hare Krishna, and then everything is gone. So it's an offense, thinking that we could do that. But the power of Krishna, the arati being perfect for Krishna, then the power is such that even such an offense can be eliminated. But again, the whole idea is that, what does that mean, that the reaction for killing of brahmana or the sinful activity gets removed? It's the reaction for, but it does not remove the taste, the willing for doing it again, because that's the anartha, which if we are holding on it, then it will stay with us until we ourselves don't let it go. So we have to see that when we go for the aroti, then yes, we should be praying to the Lord, seeing His face, seeing how the aroti is happening, and that we want to render some service for the Lord. By rendering the service, then we should slowly come to the platform that we are able to surrender. Surrender means that we are able to give everything what we have, including our anarthas. Because maybe it sounds strange, but if you look at it, we are very much holding on whatever we consider as good. But we are also very much holding on whatever it's the bad thing. We say we don't want it, but without it, we don't know who will we become. So we are holding also on the bad things. The bad anarthas, we are holding on. So we have to decide that, yes, we want to let them go. If we decide so, then one chanting of the holy name will remove them. One crumble of Mahaprasad will remove them. Once entering the temple will remove them. Visiting a holy place, association with devotees, reading from Bhagavatam. But if we don't, then we have to maybe repeat it many times, again and again and again, until we are ready to give it up. Krishna is ready, but we are not. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, can. Mm-hmm. Yes, you see, it's really very much on how the person is ready, because at the situation we know that we are in the hands of the Lord, so we are in his hands. And then if we see it, if this is it, I really don't mind, I have no attachments, and just the last moments, and just think about Krishna. And it may just happen that we leave and then may go back to Krishna at that very moment. But if we don't think about the Lord and we think, what about my husband, or what about my children, what about my house, and then everything else, we think, then because of the attachment, we may not leave. And it can be also like not so gross attachment. It can be, I wanted to still perform activities, and even like devotional service. I had the plans. I have my project. I wanted to do this, that. So that also may just keep us here in this world. So it very much depends on how much we are attached to something, how much we are ready to go. So it's if we surrender to the Lord, so it does not really matter what's happening, because whatever it is, we understand it as the best arrangements, because he made it. If it is something which is very pleasant or may not be very pleasant, still, it's not our choice. Our choice was, should we surrender or not? But once we surrender, then how Krishna does it, what he does it, then it's not really in our concern. How can we question of what is Krishna doing? Then the surrender will not be complete. If we don't do it, don't do the right thing, we are supposed to do something and then we decide, I don't want to do that. And it's not supported by anybody or anything, just the mind. And if you do it, then some reaction will be there, and that reaction may not be a reaction as a sign of great surrender. But if we did everything, whatever we could, and our consciousness is clean, then we can, there's nothing else I could do. So, the last few moments, and it is said that within the last few moments, just before the person dies, then one sees the whole life. Very quickly, apparently some images, but you see whatever happens. So then you do get the opportunity to think about all sort of maybe even nonsense. But if somebody is fixed, again, this is not even considered. And if most of our life was connected with the Lord, then on contrary, it will be very beneficial for us because we will see our connection with the Lord. So we will remember the Lord at the last moment of our life. That's why Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, that's why they are stressing so much, perform devotional service. Because this gives us advantage of when we are going to leave, then it's going to be beneficial for us. So all these activities, associating with devotees, performing devotional service, this is for our benefit. And then yes, we have to be ready because in this world we never know when we are going to leave. It can be any time. But we don't have to be afraid. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? And then we finished the chapter 9. So there are now 6 questions you can choose from. And then how is it with the essays? So then try to just catch up over the weekend. Words, not that much. Now it's for sometimes 3 times 4. Okay, so anything else?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.